do have one, but. Good morning and welcome to each one here. It's been so good to be with you this morning already. The worship was well led, and the songs with depth, and there was so much. We could have dissected each of those songs and gone home completely filled. The Bible study, well led also. I was mulling so many things, and I kept thinking, "Oh, well, but it takes me a long time to get my thoughts together." Thank you, Dwayne, for leading that. I appreciate the thoughts on freedom, and I will just share briefly what God has sort of been talking to me, and I like what Ray shared to capture that, because all of us, or many of us at least, have lived at a time when we knew there's freedom. Everybody, all the Christians tell us there's freedom, and I'm not feeling it. I'm bound by chains, and they're not easily broken. And they are in Jesus Christ, praise God for that, but it does mean a battle. It really does. I mean, our spiritual lives are many times throughout Scripture referred to as battles. And so I appreciate that, Ray. And I'd just like to say that this is the verdict from John 3. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, and men love darkness instead of light because their deeds are evil. And I have sometimes loved darkness. But I do praise God that the freedom of Jesus Christ has entered my heart, my mind, my being, and that I'm a changed man, a new man, still walking in brokenness, still sinning sometimes, but by God's grace, I am a new creation, and I praise God for that. This was my thought on freedom. As I observe the world, Canada, and I'm concerned for Canada, along with probably all of you, the legislations that are being passed, it's disconcerting, but this is what God brought to me. Perhaps this is something we ought to rejoice over. Our government is not Christian. Canada is not a Christian nation. And as they will continue to lead to the left, the divide between the followers, the believers, and those who have appreciated the wealth, the milk and honey, that divide is going to become great. I don't look forward to it. I'm grateful that my forefathers fled Europe to pursue freedom. Perhaps that's what it will mean for me. And I'm willing to think that through, but it's kind of a scary thought. And so those are my thoughts on freedom, not how I plan to start the message this morning. Make sure it's working here. I am grateful to be here with my family, and they are not we're not strangers to many of you, although there are some. I and my wife Laura have four children, and the three oldest have so been enjoying the youth group here. I bless this youth group. I bless the pursuit, and those who are pouring into this youth group. We appreciate it. We bless them in being a part of it. Jamie is our daughter. She's 18 years old, or in her words, she's almost 19. And Zach is 17, Tom 15, and they our youth group at New Covenant is to be their priority, but when it works out for them to come to your events, we're glad they can do that. Our youngest is 12, and he has a couple friends here from school. I'm a school teacher at Countryside School and pastor at New Covenant Mennonite. We are so grateful for your church. Laura and I have made good friends here, and we've also just been encouraged with what I would call a like-minded fellowship. And we bless you in your pursuit of the kingdom. The message, you know, I will confess that I struggled throughout the week to really know where God was leading me and to speak on this morning. I've chosen one of my favorite passages from the book of Isaiah being one of my favorite Old Testament books, and I'd like to speak on a message I've entitled, Instead of a Thorn Bush. And so this morning, I greet you in the name of the giver of all good gifts, the one in whom, it says in James 4, there is no wavering, there is no instability, he is rock solid. You can bet your life on it that he does not change. He's been there for the last 2,000 years. God has been there for the last at least 6,000 years, and he will be there for you. I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, the life giver. He can raise the dead to life. That's what we've talked about this morning already. All of us have been dead at some point in our lives, and some are still dead. I always say there's a lot of dead people walking around, and he can raise people to life physically and spiritually. He is the one and he alone who can turn parched ground, a barren land, into something that is beautiful and fertile and life-giving, because his name is life. Amen? His name is life, and he invites you and me by name to come. That's what he says. When he, you know, I appreciate the first song that was sung this morning, above all kingdoms and thrones and names and powers, he thought of me. And that is certainly a part of the reason for his death. It's personal. You are not saved by showing up. I think Dwayne alluded to that, by showing up on Sunday morning. That doesn't save you. It is a good thing, and it can encourage your spirit in this life to give yourself to him. But he invites us to come. Many of us here probably love the verse, Jesus' great invitation at the end of Matthew 11, where he says, come, come. Because each of us at some point have been burdened. It doesn't matter whether you are saved or unsaved. I mean, that matters. But you have carried baggage. You have carried hard things. And you are going to do that again in a broken world. You're going to face something hard, and you're going to say, God, I don't understand. I don't understand why. Why would you allow certain things to happen? And Jesus says, come. He says, come to me if you have burdens, if you have anxieties, if you have stresses, if you are carrying anything hard, come to me. Give it to me. Jonathan already alluded to, and he says, give your anxieties to me. That's a hard thing. But in this upside down kingdom of Jesus Christ, it just doesn't always logically make sense. We try to Think it through. That's just not how it is. In this upside down kingdom, surrendering means victory. Giving ourselves and raising the white flag is actually how we conquer. In John 10, he says that I am the good shepherd. I am the gate. Anyone who ever comes before me are thieves and robbers. But my sheep know my voice. And he does also say there are other voices. But we need to listen to the voice of the shepherd. And he says that whoever enters through me will come in and out and find pasture. And I am a carnal man. I wish that finding pasture would include me winning the lottery, buying a cottage and a big boat, and living that way. And having the Leafs win the cup. Just saying. That's my carnality. That's just the brutal truth. Nowhere does God ever communicate that pasture is ease and comfort here. But in our carnal nature, we are so drawn to it. And so I don't want the government to pass legislation that makes it difficult for me to do business. Of course I don't. But I must decide in which kingdom which kingdom is going to get my energy. Which kingdom am I really going to live in? And so when he says, and I like this, this ties into Dwayne's one quote there, if you are living in 2022, something like that, you are in a minefield. And I just said that to, one of the classes at school this week, about how can you know what is true? You Google something, you can find, support for whatever you wish to believe. It was different when I went to school. I mean, you were supposed to do a research paper. You wandered over to the side and you pulled that encyclopedia out. What are you doing a research paper on? Winston Churchill. You turn to Churchill. There's my information. A teacher said you need two sources. You go get another book and it was easier. And that book probably had the exact same information that was in the encyclopedia. It's different today. You look something up. You look something up, they can't both be true. They're saying, if you're living in 2022, you're in a minefield, and this is spiritually as well, not just in doing research papers. And so this comes from the devil. Jesus says in John 10 that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. His objective is to rob you of the green pasture that he has intended in which you ought to live. And it works. The good shepherd is speaking, but all those voices are so noisy and loud, and it's a struggle. And so my desire this morning is that you will be encouraged to stop pursuing the thorn bush from Isaiah 55. That you will be encouraged to come to him. I am humbled and excited and honored to be asked to share God's word with you here this morning. That you will be encouraged to come to him, to trust him, to cast your cares on him, to lay down your hard things on him, and to abide in him, to rest in him, regardless of the storm. You see, when we are in the lighthouse, the storm rages. But that's okay. Rest in that grace of God. Oh, that's just another song there that Chris led, right? May his love cover us, his grace come to us, his light shine on us. Rest in him. But God, why do I face such hard things, painful things, bitter things? You know, if you are for me, we sing, you know, songs that if God is for me. My head's too big for this thing. There we go. If you are for me, why am I facing this? And if you love me, why are things not working out? I know that in this morning it is impossible for me to properly answer those questions, because each of us, our journey is personal. It is. You know, there is no blanket answer. But I'd like for us to remember which kingdom, you know, where am I setting my sights, in which kingdom? Let's go on. I drew the title for this message from verse 13 of Isaiah 55, and I will have the scripture on the wall behind me, but you're welcome to turn to Isaiah 55 if you wish. You see, is there anyone who is drawn to a thorn bush? Are you interested in picking a bouquet for the person you love? A bouquet of thorns? Perhaps go for a walk through it? Rest in it. If I give Laura a bouquet of roses, there are thorns, but it's because of the flower. If the flower wasn't there, I wouldn't give her that. I wouldn't give that to anyone. We avoid thorn bushes. We want nothing to do with them, and yet in life, too many times, we are looking for them. We spend our time chasing them. We invest energy, money, time in things where God says, Calvin, that's not what you want. I know I say this story many times, but you see, God just sees such a much bigger picture. It was a story I read a long time ago, and I know if you've been in my class at some, then probably you've heard this, but it's about the man who takes his boy to the store, and he says, you know, today we're going to get you a toy. So they're wandering through the mall, and there's this little kiosk there, and there's a guy with a paddle and a ball attached to it. And the little two-year-old says, I want that. And the dad says, no, you don't want that. You mean the guy's standing there and there's a string attached to the ball. And the dad says, you know, no, son, that thing's going to keep coming back and whacking you in the face. And it's just not that much fun. And the little boy throws a fit. I want it. And so they go across the mall to another store, the sports store, and there is an entire wall of kickballs, and the little boy is just in awe. And the dad says, you see, son, you can have anyone you want. Because dad knew. He saw the whole picture. And the little boy at that point wanders in front and back and forth, and finally he says, I want the orange one. That's beautiful. But we spend our time chasing thorn bushes, and where God says, no, Calvin, that's not what you want. I want you to know me. I want you to seek the green pasture. I want you to need me. And so you are in this storm because you forgot sometimes. This is perhaps why you forgot that you need me, that you need to rely on me. I want you to stop seeking thorn bushes that will never satisfy, and yet we do. Popularity, pleasure, position, money, wealth, beauty, fitness, ability, and on. Thorn bushes. But we spend so much time on things that will not satisfy. What about business? Well, it's my business. No, I haven't seen my family this week, but it's been busy. Friends, in which kingdom? Busyness. Busyness in good things. You know, this has been a life lesson for me. Learning to say no. Learning to, you know, actually no. I bless that ministry, but no. These are thorn bushes. They will only leave, and perhaps you are then, they will leave you empty. Perhaps you are then asking, yeah, but what about my business? Or, you know, my sports, I love it. So do I. Wish I was better. My relationship. I want a date. I want to get married. That's good. Calvin, you don't understand. And probably business-wise, I don't understand. I have never owned one. But I do know this. Whether it's a relationship, your ability, your business, your position, if those are not surrendered to God and committed to Him, and if the resources are not committed to the kingdom, then I fear that we are building on a foundation of sand or hay or straw or stubble. These are the things that God simply says, yes, give them to me. Give that relationship to me. Give your business to me. I remember my grandma saying the story about the man who said, you know, the reason my business is successful is because when I started out that first year, I told God, I will give everything to you, and He blessed it abundantly. And my grandma said, my question was simple, or my statement was simple, you should try it again. You see, if they are not surrendered to Him, if the resources are not surrendered to Him, we are not, He is not able to bless them to that end. Isaiah 55, 1-3. I'm just going to go through this chapter and make some points. Come, all who are thirsty. Are you thirsty? We are. How are we satisfying it? Come to the water, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, or labor for what does not satisfy? He's already getting to it. Why are you seeking the thorn bush? Listen, listen, Isaiah says. Excuse me. God has cursed me. Not cursed. The thorn in my... When I'm nervous, I have to blow my nose a lot. That's... Why? Listen to me. And eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest affair. Give ear to me. Listen that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. What is it here? There's various things that probably jump out to us in these verses. Maybe the invitation to come. But throughout this chapter, this is what I'd like for us to think on. What is God's part of the covenant? And what is yours? I've discovered that I tend to focus on what God's part of the covenant is. At all. Here He is saying this, come. Come. That's my job. That's He is inviting. Listen. That's my job. Listen to me. Give ear to His voice. I've already said there are so many voices. And finally, He says, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. He wants me to come, to bend my ear to hear His voice, to listen, And then he says, I will give you a covenant, and a covenant is a commitment. My marriage vows are a covenant. You know, what Laura decides, you know, what Laura decides to do with that actually does not necessarily affect my response, because a covenant means I have a response. And God is saying, I would make a covenant with you, but you need to come, you need to listen to me. Let's skip down to verses 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Praise God for that. If you come, but what do you need to do before he pardons? Come, seek him. Seek him, call upon him. Four things, actually. Seek him, call upon him, forsake your wickedness, and turn to him. Four things. But you know what I discover when I'm reading through that? I am apt to look at what God says he will do. And I'm so grateful for that, because without his part of the covenant, we are lost. But he will keep his part of the covenant. He will abundantly pardon. What does it say? That he will have compassion and will not just pardon. It is full and deep and abundant, like the same life Jesus describes in John 10. That's what he will do. What will you do? Seek, call on him, forsake wickedness, and turn from it. You see, I think of the word seek and seeking. And we are living in a time where sometimes the gospel is just incomplete. I'm not critical of other churches or beliefs. But Jesus is looking for disciples in 2022. He never said, do you accept me? His invitation, I think, every time was two things maybe. Do you believe? And then follow. And he went to the fishermen and he said, follow me. He didn't say, do you accept me? You see, it is not just praying. He's looking for disciples. He's looking for disciples to go to college. He's looking for disciples to go to school. He's looking for disciples to run those businesses. He's looking for disciples to show up at church. He's looking for disciples to put your arm around your neighbor and to walk with them. He's looking for disciples to put your arm around another member in the youth group, that the old, the young, that everyone in here would encourage each other in what is true and right and good, and point people into the kingdom, because we are not a building filled with people who have it together, unless your church is different than mine. It is a people that are completely lost, and I show up there because I need men to put their arms around me and say, Calvin, let's keep walking. Let's keep moving forward. And I know by God's grace, you are doing the same here, and I'm encouraged in that. God will keep his part of the covenant. You know, this, and I am so grateful for that. What I was going to say, though, is where so many times, you know, it's just we're told that the love of God, it chases me down. You know, it's pursuing, breaking down walls, and amen, it does. But it doesn't stop there. Throughout Scripture, we are encouraged, told, commanded to seek him. It's not just about saying, you know, God, I believe. It's about seeking him. Jeremiah 29:11. You know that verse, do you not? We put it on our walls. We love it. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Praise God. Bring it on. Prosper me, O God. Is that the verse that ought to be on our walls is my question. I do like the next. Then you will call. Then again, we'll call on him. It is verse 13 that I really believe ought to be on our walls because that's the reminder for us. God's going to keep his part. He's God. But for us is the last line here. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. We have a responsibility in the covenant. You will seek me and you will find me, praise God, when you seek for me with all your heart. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must first, believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. We have a responsibility in the relationship, and I'm grateful for that. Let's go on. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Allow me to turn to it here. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, declares the Lord. Neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Who can know the mind of God? When I say, God, I wish, why am I going through this? Did Job not ask the same thing? And I love Job. I love the story of Job. And Job was righteous. Did he deserve it? Not in earthly standards. You see, in fact, in chapter 31, you can look through it. Job declares his righteousness. He just goes through, if I have ever withheld money from someone who needed it, then curse me with everything you've given me. If I have ever looked lustfully at a woman, then, you see, Job says, I don't deserve the hard things. You don't necessarily either. I mean, it's just not how it works. That is a human way of thinking. What have I done to deserve this? Friends, sometimes we are going to suffer because we are godly. That's what Jesus said. He says that you're going to be persecuted if you love me. All who are godly will suffer persecution. I think that's in Peter. So sometimes we're going to suffer because we're godly. Sometimes we're going to suffer because we're ungodly. You know, if I abuse my body, there's a good chance that I will suffer. Sometimes we're going to suffer because of someone else's sin. My sister-in-law was hit by a drunk driver. Her life was changed. She was told she'd never walk again. She is suffering. She is walking again, praise God, but her life changed that day. She is suffering because of someone else's sin. Sometimes we're going to suffer because we live in a broken world. In all of our suffering, God does have a desire, and that is this, that our lives would point to him, that our lights would bring him glory. Jesus, who sinned that this man here is born blind? I always think the disciples didn't understand something. He was blind, not deaf. They were right there. Anyway, and he said, nobody sinned. I'm paraphrasing here. Nobody sinned that he's blind except that God may be glorified. And that is so sometimes when I am dealing with something hard. Does that make it easy? No, no. Do not hear me saying that this your painful thing should be easy. No. Your painful things are hard. Loss, illness. They're hard things. I am not glossing over that. But his ways are not like ours. And so many times, it's simply that we are trying to make sense of something we don't understand. If you can see behind me and I would ask you, what are you looking at? Most of we would come up with different answers. Perhaps it's part of a phone. But this is life. This is life. We are dealing with hard things and can't make sense out of it. God, why is it? I have given much. Why is it not working out? And God says, my ways, son, daughter, are not like yours. I'm looking at this pixel going, figure it out. You know, I can't figure it out. And he just sees a much larger picture. He sees an image that I can't see. And when I am under that waterfall and it's raining and it's pouring and all I feel is a storm, I'm saying, God, I don't get it. And he says, son, there is a large picture that you are not seeing. Each of us is simply part of a much larger story. My responsibility is to be faithful. Longevity has its place. I hope to reach 90 years of age. But that's not God's goal for me. Is his goal that I deal with hard things? Not even. But he and I both know that I am living in a broken world. In a place that is sin-cursed, and pain will come. And I've said this so many times, and I hate thinking about it. Either you are in a storm now, you have come through a storm, or you're headed for one. Eventually, it's actually going. So when I'm cruising along and life is good, I want to enjoy that, but eventually, I just don't know when it is. I am actually at the front of the line. Eventually, I'm actually next in line for something ridiculously painful, and I am not prepared for it unless I understand. Well, I probably am not prepared for it, but if I understand that it is a reality, I can be somewhat ready. I don't know what it's going to look like. His ways and thoughts are not like ours, but he pardons abundantly. And so just like the rain and snow comes down from heaven and does not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. That's a powerful, powerful verse. That is not meaning that rain sometimes comes. You know, we use the word rain. It's raining. Sometimes that is a term we use for difficult things. Sometimes the storm rages. You know, for those who attend at Countryside School, and I know my children have, I didn't print these lyrics, I should have. My children have heard me say this so many times, but last spring, May 31st, I somewhat gained an anthem for my life, and you can look it up. It's called a poem called Secure, and little did they know, it goes something like this. The storm is raging, Lord. And I just describe it because I can't quote it. But the storm is raging, Lord. The wind is beating. The waves are coming in over the side of my little boat. I'm going to drown. That's where I was at last spring. I don't really know why. I don't know if they noticed. It was in rehearsal, and I sat at the back of the gym weeping and worshiping. But at the end of the song, "But he knows the captain, and so I am secure." That became my anthem. You see, every one of us is going to face something hard. I need to fix my face, my eyes, my intent on him. His part of the covenant again, he's going to accomplish his plan. He's going to accomplish his plan. Whether I'm in it or not, he's going to accomplish it, and I want to be in it. "You will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will burst in song before you, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown." Praise God for those who have surrendered to him. You're part of the Lord's renown. And you're going to see a juniper instead of a thorn bush. You're going to see the trees of the field praising God when you look out there. This will be a sign for the Lord's renown and an everlasting covenant that will endure forever. Ha. There's going to be a season, and we need to remember that. Hard things are seasonal, but we're going to have a season. And after that, the thorn bush will be replaced with a juniper, with a cypress, with a tree that points to God, claps his hands for God, and that will be for the Lord's renown. You see, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, it says this. We don't focus on the things we can see. Because the things we can see are temporal. The things we can't see are eternal. If you are only looking at the things you can see, you're focusing on the wrong thing. If you are only seeing what is physical, you're focusing on the wrong thing. Let's focus on what we can't see. Because God and his word will endure forever. They will last forever. You will go out with joy and be led forth with peace, even when it's storming, even when it doesn't make sense. And I know, you know, I'm almost smitten with some of the things that I said this morning now, although I trust it's only been encouraging, because I now suddenly wasn't thinking about anyone in this body. But there are people here who are walking hard roads. If I said something that did anything besides encourage you to the Father, forgive me, and I hope you forget that part. You know, just as I look through the crowd, I see people who have walked painful roads. But this is for each of us. If you are not walking a painful road, you're called to wrap your arm around someone who is. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. We see but this little pixel and try to make sense of it. It's impossible. Seek him, call on him, turn from the carnal things, from wickedness, and turn to God, and he will be with a fullness of compassion will abundantly pardon. God bless each of you as you continue serving in the kingdom, focusing on his kingdom, and giving yourselves to encouraging each other and spurring each other on to good works. I'm encouraged with this body, and I bless you in your continued work in the kingdom.